Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First today, the government is launching this new initiative to rent or buy empty properties around the country in an effort to house asylum seekers. This comes following that major operation to remove hundreds of people who were sleeping rough outside the International Protection Office on Mount Street in Dublin yesterday, and ahead of today's meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Immigration. Gabby Agata-Fitzgaita is political correspondent with the Irish Independent, and Gabby is on the line now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So you're writing about this tender for expressions of interest which has been sent out. This is looking for buildings that are in need of renovation or buildings that are already in usable condition. Also, the government looking for building contractors to get in touch. So what can you tell us about what they want now?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's really a plea to literally anybody. It's, you know, property owners, landlords, developers, building contractors who may have their hands on properties, buildings. They're not even specifying if it's houses or apartments or, you know, just large community halls, whatever it may be, which are in either turnkey condition or maybe they need renovation or even extensive renovation and repair. The government is interested in buying them. The most important thing is that they have to be vacant, and they do specify in the tender that they will be for the housing of asylum seekers. So I think the government now has about, or the state has about 1,000 permanent asylum seeker beds in its stock. And as part of this long-term strategy to house migrants and asylum seekers, refugees, it wants to increase that significantly. The tender is actually only closing at the end of next April. The expressions of interest are open to literally anybody who's interested. There's no figure that's being put on it in terms of money or how many beds they want to get out of it, but certainly it's a drive for literally anything and everything that may be out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know, as I mentioned there, we had that operation on Mount Street in Dublin yesterday, but obviously this tender shows that there is a fear that that situation could arise again, because we will have new arrivals, and we've seen that in the intervening hours that people are coming there to the IPAS centre. And where are they going to go? Do we know the answer to that question?
Yeah, and that is the challenge the government finds itself with. I mean, certainly as long as it has some beds available in City West and in Kriegsling, that's where it's going to push migrants. But those will eventually run out as well. You know, even these promises from Justice Minister Helen McEntee, she's saying that she's expediting the asylum application processing times. You could still see people spending weeks or months even on end waiting to hear an answer if they are going to be deported or if they are going to get their protection that they're entitled to. They still need somewhere to live in the intervening period. And this, I think, is very much so recognition by government that the numbers that we've seen of asylum seekers coming last year and even in the first couple of months this year, you know, they are likely to continue, maybe even rise, maybe they'll fall slightly. But the government wants to have available, accessible accommodation that's not necessarily hotels or B&Bs. They're very expensive contracts. They don't want to be taking the local hotel out of circulation. But if they had their own accommodation, that maybe make it a bit easier for them.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you mentioned today in your report are these proposals in the ether to cut payments to Ukrainian refugees. We know they've been cut already. There might be concern, though, in the Green Party over this.
Yes. So, of course, what the government has done is that new arrivals, I think it was from a date in February, from Ukraine, they are now getting this 90-day cap on accommodation, but also lower social welfare every single week, and not the, I think it was a 220 or so before. But there's all the Ukrainians that came before that date in February, they're still entitled to more or less unlimited accommodation and this higher rates of welfare payments. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys, I understand, is examining the issue. It's not going to be one for the Cabinet Subcommittee on Migration today, but there is a conversation happening across government about it. I did an interview with the Minister back in, I think it was February now, and she did indicate strongly her support for this, saying that it's not sustainable to have tens of thousands of Ukrainians on those higher payments, more or less so indefinitely. And we are expecting that the government is going to make a decision on that in the coming weeks and months.
So it's only those who are on the higher rate, the basic rate of income assistance, isn't it? That, as you mentioned, the 220 figure. It's not the people who are on the reduced rate who are being looked at.
Yes, so the people that are on the reduced rate, they've already gotten their rates reduced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in line with the direct with people who are in direct provision, for example. And so it's about bringing everybody in on the same
level.
Playing field. Yeah.
Okay, on the job seekers rate. But as you say, it's not a conversation for today, but it is around the place. Now, Simon Harris, according to your colleague Philip Ryan, is keen to shift the conversation away from housing when it comes to migrants by removing those asylum seekers, mm-hmm. as we saw from Mount Street. So it's more to have this conversation about law and order, is it? That's where his interest and his focus is.
Well, I think certainly the operation yesterday at Mount Street was really very much so quite significant. I understand plans for that were hatched late last week, and it was really a major drive for government, and you know, to clear up those tents, to get people bussed into better facilities. Now the conversation is, well, what if people come back? Where are they supposed to be put? I think certainly it's a big issue for the new Taoiseach. You know, the housing issue, unfortunately, is going to be at the forefront of it, but the government does now have its long-term housing plan for migrants, for refugees, asylum seekers, and I think it wants to see for that to be implemented and managed as time goes on.
Okay, Gabia, thank you very much for that. I'm joined on the line by Paul McAuliffe now, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West. Paul, housing and migration will be inextricably linked. There's no getting away from that. And we see this plan now where the government is putting out this tender to buy or rent properties. Are you concerned about that?
Well, look, I think to date in this debate, housing and migration have been very separate. And when people on the door ask me if somebody coming into the country is getting a place ahead of them on the housing waiting list, you know, it's very clear that you can say to them that anybody coming here is not entitled to HAP, they're not entitled to join the social housing waiting list, and therefore you can ease that fear. I think the tender that Gabia has pointed out actually is interesting, because it specifically rules out properties that could be used for social housing, properties that could be used for nursing homes, properties that could be used for student accommodation, or properties that could be used for other arms of the state. And I think that's important. But what the tender is part of is, I suppose, Ireland moving away from what has been an emergency response to an emergency situation to having a more long-term plan in terms of dealing with the asylum seeking process. Because, you know, for much of our history, we had nobody coming to this country. In fact, we were the ones fleeing. But it's likely now that this is going to be both with Europe and with Ireland for some time. And we need robust systems and properties that we can use to process asylum claims.
So are you saying then that there will be no private homes that are offered under that tender scheme that the government is intending to buy?
Well, the tender, wording of the tender, and I suppose it has to be sufficiently wide to allow, because with tendering process you have to be fairly legalistic. But the wording of the tender talks about buildings and not homes. It wouldn't make any sense for governments to ban the bulk purchase of homes by vulture funds in the States and then allow an international protection to go in and use individual homes. That is not something I would favour, and certainly I don't believe it's consistent with what government want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So from reading the tender, and it is a very general tender, that doesn't seem to be the policy, but any move towards that I think would increase tensions and wouldn't be something that would be welcomed, I think, by many people in government across all parties.
So what type of buildings do you think might be included in this plan?
Well, I think buildings that will allow communal the communal residential use, and I think that's important too, because again, people on the housing waiting lists, you know, are very unlikely to take up a place in the communal accommodation. They're not going to have spent that time waiting for them to take up that property, so they don't feel that those buildings are being taken from them. But I think communal accommodation, and I think larger properties where large numbers can be accommodated.
Mm. But look, I wonder, are we talking about converting commercial premises, because some of the communal living properties could be used arguably as nursing homes, and they're excluded, as you've explained.
Well, look, nobody wants to see people in tents. That's the number one thing, okay? But equally, in dealing with this issue, we can't increase social tension. So I believe that the Department of Integration have put out a tender to try and look for all available properties. That's what we would expect them to do. That's what they should be doing, that they should be looking for people that can assist them in the processing of asylum claims. But equally, it shouldn't cross into the housing area. And I believe from looking at the tender, that won't happen. And if there's further reassurances needed on that, then that's what we'll do.
Okay, so you are confident from what you've seen in this tender that government is not seeking to buy or rent empty homes to house asylum seekers. And if that does happen, you're saying that's going to be a problem.
Well, not only that, it just wouldn't be consistent with what we've done in Housing for All. In Housing for All, we have sought to have an owner-occupied guarantee for local authorities. We've increased the stamp duty on people buying bulk purchases and so on. So it wouldn't be consistent with our current government policy. But equally, I don't believe it would be a good route to go down. Mm. Nobody is saying that that's where we're going, by the way. And as I say, there's a specific reference in the tender that says that Housing for Social Housing will not be included.
Okay,
so
Catherine Day, right, who's head of the expert advisory group looking into migrant accommodation, and she came in to see us on this programme a couple of months ago and explained that the government needs to build at least 6 large reception centres. I think it's 13 now because she's revised those figures for international protection applicants. Where is that plan?
So my understanding is that the government are identifying those sites and they will be announced. I suppose there is an understandable degree of concern across the country about location of any sort of international protection. And I suppose I have some worries that by us using the emergency planning laws and by having sort of announcements which happen, you know, kind of late on a Friday evening or so on, we as a government have not been handling that part of it well. And we need to move back to a process where planning applications are lodged, where people can have an opportunity to make their observations. Nobody has a veto, but equally everybody should have a right to make an observation on a new development in their area. And with that process, then I believe we could bring more communities with us.
What's happened today doesn't say a measured and, you know, responsible and new approach. This tender's going to give me your property, quick, whatever you have, we'll take it.
Well, with respect, Claire, I read the tender. It doesn't say anything about give us your properties quick. I think that's alarmist. It looks for partnerships with property owners and with people to provide turnkey facilities. I think that's a totally different thing. I think that's the state moving towards a more permanent solution to asylum claims.
And private developers, building contractors who are interested in selling or leasing existing properties, buildings in Turkey to condition existing properties that require upgrading, refurbishment, renovation. That's a fairly desperate call to the private sector for property, any sort of property.
Well, given it's closed the tenders next April, I don't know how you can apply the word desperate.
Listen, you were told a long time ago to build reception centres. There is no plan. There isn't one site that has been publicly identified. I've asked the Taoiseach, I've asked countless ministers, and I'm asking you today, and nobody can tell us where these things are or where the plan is.
Absolutely clear. The plan is being developed. There's no published plan at this point. And as I say, how that plan is communicated and how communities are consulted and brought with, I think is really, really important because, as I say, we're moving away from an emergency response and we have to do that. And we have to respond in the way that we did because of the increased numbers. But given that we're going to be given this level of people coming to Ireland claiming asylum, we have to move to a more permanent system.
I just don't see how you can say that this tender isn't part of an emergency response. It is.
Well, it's part of the government's response to process asylum claims and to house people while we do that. Absolutely. And that's what the tender says.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were hearing from the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting last night that James O'Connor, your colleague, was asking questions about the performance of Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, also Minister Roderick O'Gorman, the Integration Minister. He said he'd serious concerns. Were those concerns shared amongst other colleagues at the meeting?
Well, last night, actually, I think the Parliamentary Party meeting finished after 10 o'clock. It was a very long meeting. It was it contained lots of discussions, including migration. It's the third kind of full meeting we've had on the issue of migration, and there's lots of backbenchers bringing up concerns. Like, the reality is that both Minister O'Gorman and Minister McEntee have the two portfolios that largely deal with this issue. So I don't think in making criticisms of this, of the current proposal and the way things are being handled, that we're, that's a personal thing. That's the first thing I'd like to say. And secondly, this involves everybody across all of government responding to what is a very significant threat to how our democracy works. There are very significant people out there who are acting in bad faith and who are using this system to raise concerns and that are not just bordering on racist comments, but go beyond that, that are attacking Gardaí and so on. So I think it's appropriate that in that context, that we have a parliamentary party that we discuss how we can bring people who are in the centre, people who have genuine conversations, who have genuine questions, and who want to ask more about what we're doing, how we
That's not what he was saying, though, is it? He was questioning the performance of Helen McEntee and Roderick O'Gorman.
Well, it's a private meeting, obviously, so I don't want to quote anybody at the meeting. But overall, at the whole meeting, it was about the government communicating better and working with people who not are on the extreme, but those people, and there's lots of them in my constituency and everywhere else, that just have genuine concerns, that want to know there's a plan and that want us to respond in a fair and efficient way. That is where we need to get to. We're not there now, but that is where we need to get there. That involves Minister McEntee and Minister O'Gorman, because they're the line ministers, but it also includes the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach and all of the other members of government.
Okay, I want to move to John Mark McCafferty, who's CEO of Threshold. Paul, stay with us if you can. So we have these new figures from the Residential Tenancies Board, John Mark, showing us that new renters are paying a lot more per month than those with existing tenancies. Are you surprised at those figures at all?
Morning, Claire. Not necessarily surprised, no, but, you know, concerned, because obviously the difference between existing rent levels and the rents for new tenancies, there's a substantial kind of shift there. We don't know exactly why, and hopefully analysis to be done by the Residential Tenancies Board will help to explain some of those differences. And it is a cause of concern, because especially for, say, people who are moving from one tenancy to another, maybe because they've got received a notice of termination from a landlord because the landlord's selling, they're trying to source other housing in the private rented sector. And then they may be going for a substantially higher rent, and even like €100 increase might have a significant impact on a person's finances. You know, renters tend to have lower incomes, so that €100 that they're now paying in the new rent could have gone towards like an energy bill previously. So there are also budgetary issues for tenants moving from one tenancy to the other, given assuming they're moving from a lower rent to a considerably higher
rent. And
Tommy,
do you have heightened concerns when you hear about this government tender today asking private property owners to consider renting or selling their property for international protection applicants?
I think, look, there's a whole range of pressures on housing, and particularly in the private rented sector. And I suppose we in Threshold are in the business of advising tenants, and what we're seeing is that many landlords are indeed ending tenancies because they're intending to sell, and that's our main focus. The pressures underpinning that are many and varied. You know, you mentioned one pressure there. Another pressure is the impact of short lets on the availability of longer term rental.
Yeah.
Obviously, supply is a huge issue. It's important that also the state come through with the likes of the tenant in situ schemes, both the cost rental and the social housing tenant in situ schemes, because they do help in situations where landlords are ending tenancies because they're selling the property.
Yeah, those short-term lets, Paul McAuliffe, if you're still with us, they're a huge problem, particularly in urban areas and popular tourist destinations, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I think today's report probably tells us what we already know, and that new properties tend to be at a higher rate than existing properties. I also think it's welcome that the city with the lowest annual growth rate for existing tenancies was Dublin City at just over 4%. There's still a question about why that 4% is above the 2% rent cap that we've put on properties, and I think there's element there where rents are increasing because tenants are afraid to contest that rent cap that's there. Mm-hmm. We have capped rents, and I think that has, so the figures in Dublin and in other parts of the city where the rent pressure zones are in place, that shows that the rent pressure zones are having an impact. I think that's a really important point to make. So obviously new tenancy.
Well, yeah, well maybe then that means that the rent pressure zones should be extended and perhaps extended right across the country.
Yeah, I think there is an argument for that, and I also think that the tenants in situ scheme, which I have to acknowledge, Threshold are fantastic at informing tenants of their rights and of their responsibilities. They have a contract with government to do that, but they do it in a great way. The tenants in situ scheme has also been a really important step to prevent people from entering homelessness. But the problem there is the cost rental one isn't, people aren't aware of that. So that's for people above the €40,000 income. For those below, hand, we've taken nearly 2,000 people, saved them from homelessness.
John,
we need
Mark,
to make sure that people who are in higher income brackets also know that that support is there.
Very little time left, but just in that idea of extending the rent pressure zone nationwide, John Mark, is that something that is worth considering and might work?
Absolutely. You know, the rent pressure zones aren't perfect, but they certainly have moderated the increases in rents. And we've seen over the years that the rent pressure zone areas have extended rent levels just beyond those areas that are not covered, they often increase by multiples or very, very high levels of percentage just outside of those rent pressure boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I think a statewide approach to rent pressure zones is one option, certainly, for governments to consider.
We'll leave it there. But thank you both, John Mark McCafferty from Threshold and Paul McAuliffe, who is a Fianna Fáil TD. Just one piece of news I want to tell you from Paul Reynolds, our colleague in the newsroom, who reports that a man has been arrested in connection with an incident in County Wicklow earlier this week, during which builders renovating a hotel were shouted at and told to leave the site. The Department of Integration has confirmed the building is not for international protection applicants. The man, who is in his 30s, was arrested in Ockram this morning and is being detained in a Garda station in Wicklow. And Paul reminds us that footage uploaded on social media shows the builder on the site of the lawless hotel in Wicklow being told to get out with your effing crew, as a group of around 30 men and women shouted out, out at him. The incident took place in Ockram on Monday afternoon. So that's the latest news on that from Paul Reynolds. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.